Okay, we're all set up now. Had to take a little time to get everything in place. So I'm going to start over. Today, we're going to hear from you. And I think it's way overdue. I have been listening to my voice on all these recordings, and I'm thinking, you know, I'd like to hear somebody else's voice for a change. Especially because I'd like to know if you like the format we're using, if you like the way we're studying the book, and suggestions you might have for future reading. One of the things I am going to share with you is about how we're going to close out Love Without End. I want it to be on Easter Sunday. So we've gone really all over the map on the book because I was trying to coordinate thoughts in the book with the kinds of things we were going through either on the timeline of our world or our seasons, what was happening, where our attention was, so that I could demonstrate to you the incredible usefulness of this book for all things human. He came for us. You know, unlike some religions that set their deities on a divine altar, and they have very little to do with humanity other than to place sanctions and make judgments and command events. Well, that's not the way Yeshua came to be with us. He came to be with us as one of us. As one of us. In fact, he started from the ground level up, conceived as a child, obtained birth, grew up as a child, a young man, and then began his ministry by calling around him the most ordinary of people. Now, looking back, I don't consider any of them ordinary. In fact, I think they're extraordinary. I couldn't imagine living the life of the apostles, who we now refer to as saints, going through their challenges, their hardships, as well as their incredible enlightenments, not to mention their service to humanity and how they changed the life on planet Earth forever. So yes, they, as it was, they are extraordinary. But there's a passage in the book of Matthew where Yeshua says, don't be too much in awe of what I do, because all these things I do, you shall do and more. Now, he wasn't talking about the men and women or children walking on the streets of Jerusalem at that time. He was talking about the future fulfillment of humanity as we become all that we were created to be. Remember, as we've talked about the first book of Genesis many times, we were created in the image of God, and literally a holographic piece of God was placed inside of us. Of course, in those days, they didn't know about holograms. They wouldn't have any familiarity with the word. But the way it's described, it most certainly is that kind of thing. And I will share with you something I know firsthand about the making of holograms, because at one time I had the very, very foolish idea that holographic art would be a wonderful thing to create and people would love it. I didn't know the limitations of the medium or how small it had to be, or the fact that it's really not that beautiful. It's, nobody's going to decorate their office or their home with a hologram. But in the course of doing it, I learned a lot. And one of the things that I learned, it's just a second. One of the things I learned is that the smallest slice of a hologram can recreate the whole picture. You don't have to recreate. You don't have to copy the whole picture in order to duplicate and recreate it. Only the tiniest little scraping or chip of a hologram can recreate the whole. This is actually how life, light works. And what makes it extremely plausible to me, from different levels of scientific study, that light would be the original creative instrument. Because whatever was created in light could be recreated again and again and again without anything but light. And as life became more variable in its outward manifestations, all that was necessary was to take one little element, particle, ray, whatever it might be that was chosen, and you can recreate the whole thing all over again, even in all of its complexity. And it just evolved on down the chain of manifestation until the entire universe could be created from light. And the very evidence, and I suppose you could say proof, that this is true, is that light is the commonality of everything in manifest existence. It's the only commonality there is, which suggests that it is the mother of creation, God being its father, or you might say the sun, and the sun manifested as the father from his light. As Yeshua said, I am the way, the truth, and the life of this universe. I am my father's will manifested into human form, that I may show you all that is potential for you. And so we live in hopes of gaining more ideas about what that potential could be, and at times manifesting it. Sometimes we see literal miracles happening to us and through us. And even at times, I would say, because of us, not because we waved our hands and projected the will and light of God, but because we became a willing vessel for the will and the power of God, that it could shine literally through us. So this is why we study. We study whatever we know to be an authentic message from the one who is himself a living representation of God, which is proven through the resurrection, the one who is unkillable, literally, even though the body surrendered to complete mortality for 3 days, the light within completely restored the life within. and he exists with us and among us to this day. So this is why I timed our reading so that we would complete this job, this blessed job, on Easter Sunday. And now I would like to hear from anyone among you who would like to, well, you might actually have a question, because I would think and hope that by hearing someone talk about the book, especially the one who had firsthand experience of the message might have expanded for you, but it might have expanded with a few question marks, and it's okay. I may not have the answers, but I'll sure do my best. I'll do my best to expand your understanding at least a little bit. And if you want to say something about how much richer a part of the message became because you were able to think about it with greater depth, that would be great too. You want to ask for a blessing? Then that's great also. This time is for you. And that's my gift for you today, is that this whole experience today is for us, our community, for you. And let's just make the best of it. And I will virtually guarantee you something, and that is almost any question you could ask. Somebody else has the same one, but they're just a little too shy to say it. So if you're prompted to speak, go ahead, let it roll, and I'm here for you. And Nancy's going to manage the board.
I am.
Yeah. So we are blessed to have you. Let's just get started, okay?
Okay. Well, before we get started, I mean, when I think of wholeness, and when you're talking about this, restoring, you know, getting back to that and part of the whole, it seems to me that's where a lot of our breakdown is, where we don't feel whole, or we're churned up with fear and static. And it's so cool that we studied, you know, pathways to success, heart of your higher intelligence, commandments, Zen commandments and bridges. You know, it's like amazing that again he came to talk to us about all those ways that we can, you know, turn that ship around. And in real practical terms to say, so, you know, sometimes mm-hmm. for me, it's like, which area helps me the most? Is it, you know, and I can think about the four levels of success every single day, you know, be the love that you are. Of course, forgive. Of course, do the right thing. Follow life and a living. Sometimes that's a unique thought. What does that really mean for me? Because, you know, it's scary to leave the dead and the dying sometimes when you're, you know, responsible for things. And so to me, it's amazing how everything he gave us was to reduce that fear, to bring us back to knowing that wholeness that you're talking about. And I would love to hear from people how, you know, what happens for you when you get these great, incredible insights and he just gives you this gift right at your feet. And then you're like, get to go live it and, you know, in every cell of your body. It's amazing,
yes.
Right? So I'm going to open up a line. I'm not sure who we have here, but it's
Eric. Kathy.
Is this Kathy?
Yeah.
28? Hi, Kathy. Kathy, your line is open. Maybe you're on mute. Did you mute yourself, Kathy?
Oh, I'm sorry. I forgot to unmute myself. That's what's going
on.
Well,
you're right there. We've got you now.
Wonderful. Well, and talking about the one spirit, and I'm trying to put myself in that and experience the one spirit as being all it is and me a part of that, I just wanted to say one of the things I've been noticing that I think is a reflection of that is when I'm doing, at the end of doing a blessing, I like to, send blessings out to the public at large, I guess, but or whoever Yeshua wants to bless. And then after that, I like to do some of my personal requests, either for family and friends or just for things I'm thinking about going on in the world. And one of the things I've been noticing is that when I am asking Yeshua to be a channel for others or the world, there's this unmistakable blessing coming to me.
Yes.
I'm being blessed as I'm requesting these blessings, and then the opposite occurs also when I am asking for something that is personal just for me, Kathy, myself. I feel the same way that this is going out. It's like this circular kind of motion thing that everybody is receiving the same blessing.
Mm-hmm.
That just
That's
feels
beautiful.
Really cool to me. That,
no, it's true. You're not the only one that needs that blessing.
Right, exactly. But even if it's not the exact same prayer request, I feel like it's still going out in some shape or form to others. Like when we pray, you know, the Lord's Prayer and saying, give us this day our daily bread, or when I'm doing the version that Yeshua gave us about the abundance, you know, for asking that we be nourished by his bountiful supply. I'm picturing that whatever somebody needs, you know, maybe they need the food or the bread, but maybe, you know, they just need peace and quiet or companionship or a new area to grow in or a new idea for this, that, or the other. So whatever somebody needs, if there's somebody rebuilding in Myanmar or somebody trying to get food in Sudan or whatever, when I'm praying that, I feel like God knows what they need. And you know, he's supplying my need for whatever it is I'm dealing with in my life. But it might not be exactly the same bread that somebody else is getting.
Exactly. But you know what? It's the power of asking. It's the power of you asking. So many people think, well, they actually try to test God. They don't do for themselves. They say, well, if God cares about me and God loves me, he'll put food on the table. And Yeshua would say to them, why didn't you ask?
Mm-hmm.
Why didn't you ask? You know, we were given our autonomy to be sovereign deciders of our life. We get to decide what we want, what we do, who we are, and how we get on with life. That was his gift to. Can you imagine being a sovereign being in a universe of this enormity created by the most divine presence that has ever been? Can you just imagine how enormous that gift is? That he gave us that gift because that's what it takes to ignite that light he put in us, which is just a little sliver of himself.
Mm-hmm.
In other words, we cannot ignite the presence of God within ourselves unless we also have an element of sovereignty over ourselves. That's what it takes. Those are the two components. Okay. God is whole and God is sovereign. All right. So if we would ignite that same presence in ourselves, we have to initiate through asking the blessings to come forth. And people don't want to do that. I don't know why. I really don't. It, you know, you could say, well, maybe it's a little bit of shyness. Like, why should I ask? Because God should know. Now, that's actually, my friends, it's actually arrogance. It's not humility at all. And it's a way to test God to see, well, I'll see if he really loves me, because if he really loves me, he'll take care of my needs. And then if he doesn't, you'll say, well, I guess he didn't love me. So I guess I'll just suffer and die in misery. That's silly. Beyond silly. It's self-destructive. Ask, and you shall receive. Knock, and the door shall open. This is the incredible importance of prayer. And the other importance of prayer is it brings you closer to God. He wants you close. He wants you with him. And he doesn't want to be the only one coming to you.
Well, it's interesting that you're going into this direction, because this is really a question I have been kind of thinking about myself, where sometimes I feel like I'm asking too much. And
you can never ask too much. Sometimes we ask inappropriately, because we have desires and goals that have been shaped by the needs of others or the needs of the world, and it's not your responsibility. And then we wonder, well, should I take on this option? Should I do this? But go ahead and ask, because if it's not right for you, you'll be told.
Well, go ahead and ask.
Just think, as a child, how many things you asked your mommy for that she refused you.
Yeah.
It can be an act of love to refuse you. Mm-hmm. And it's an act of love on your part that you felt close enough to ask for what you wanted. There's nothing wrong with that.
You're making me think of today's the gospel reading was about the prodigal son. And boy, he asked the father, give me it all right here, right now. And God gave it to him. Of course, he had to learn his lessons through all of that. He wasn't prepared for the responsibility of everything. But I think sometimes we play the part of the son. Sometimes we play the part of the brother.
Oh, do we ever?
And sometimes we play
sometimes
the part of the
we
father.
Play the role. Yep, and sometimes we play the role of Job.
Yep.
There's a lot of characters in the Bible we personify, and it's all there for our enjoyment.
And Kathy, I just really was touched by your compassion for others and thinking about their needs, and somehow that flowing out of your heart, you know, really touches others' hearts, because you know, we've all talked about that compassion and feeling with others, and so I could just feel your heart in that, and that's got to be some very powerful thing in that one spirit that affects all of us. So thank you for that.
Well, I think it has a lot to do, too, with this thinking about the wording of the Lord's Prayer. That's what put me kind of down that path myself, is because
mm-hmm.
it starts off with our Father. You know, when I'm praying to him, he didn't say I should say my God or my Father. He said, we're saying our Father. So I'm recognizing that I'm praying to him. I'm calling to him on behalf of not just me, but all of my brothers and sisters here. And
absolutely.
Then later on, when we get down
Amen.
To the phrase where it says, give us this day our daily bread, he's saying, he told us to say, give us this day our daily bread, us. So when I'm asking for whatever I need, like I was saying before, whatever I need personally in my life, maybe it's not bread per se, because I'm fortunate that God has supplied me here. Others might need the bread. Others might need, like I was saying before, a friend or an answer to a problem or whatever it might happen to be. But when I'm praying that, I find myself feeling I'm asking for each of us, all the brothers and sisters here, to have whatever it is we need the most right now.
Absolutely.
And I think he intended it because he wrote it that way.
He did. Well, of course he intended it.
Singular.
And he lived for it. He didn't come to earth for his glory. He lived in high places in a state of glory. He came here for us.
That's a humbling thought, isn't it? It makes you almost want to tear up, you know?
Yeah.
Well, thank you, Kathy. I'm going to move down the line here and open up some more callers. We love you and appreciate your call today and that you're here with us. So thank you for your words. Okay, we have Sarah. Sarah, your line is open.
Oh, well, aloha, beloved community. Thank you, Nancy. Thank you, Glenda. And I felt inspired. I've so appreciated this how we're going through the book. And I also love this opportunity for the community conversation. And what Kathy just was sharing really inspired me to open up. And one thing also, Kathy is my beloved mom's name who passed 3 years ago. The anniversary of her passing is coming up on Tuesday. So continued blessings for her journey and for all who mourn. And what Kathy and what you were just talking about really inspired me that, this is what I'm hoping for in my own prayer life and my own evolution, is to expand how I ask. And, you know, so many of my prayers are often just right. I mean, there's things I need, and I do believe, like you said, there's such a humbleness in asking. And so I'm good with that. And I also want to go beyond just, you know, asking for ways that I can be out of suffering. And, you know, that's pretty much where it starts, of like, oh, I just, you know, I want to feel good. I want to feel happy. And that's true. And I want my prayer life to be more expanded for all of us. It's not just about me and centering on me. So I ask for that, blessing and for all of us. And then I do have a question about free will and respecting the free will of our brothers and sisters. And, you know, it's just when I make a prayer for someone else, you know, I'm just trying to understand how to respect their free will. And the specific example is my beloved dad is, you know, he really is killing himself with alcohol. And a week ago, he told me he wanted to give it up. And this is the first time I've ever heard in my life, you know, in the 70 years I've been.
That's a big step.
It's a huge step, and I feel the miracle in that. And I noticed today that he had a slip, or he has alcohol. And, you know, and I also know I'm trying to not set myself up, knowing the journey is ups and downs, and that's part of it. I just don't know quite how to make my prayer for him, because I want him to give it up. And I want him to, I also know it has to come from him and respecting his free will. And so, any insight?
Well, you know, Sarah, his will is still in place. It's very hard to go cold turkey with alcohol. It's very, very activating, shall we say. I mean, it rearranges the molecules in a person's body and the connections in the brain. And it's a journey. Giving it up is a journey. As long as he's on the journey, and I would say pray for his journey to freedom.
Yes.
Okay?
Yes.
And then perhaps you could pray that he would seek assistance along the journey. Because he's probably not going to be able to do it alone. Very, very few people do it alone.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
You know, human habits are very strong. And it's not just with alcohol or tobacco or some other, even medical drugs can create a long-term dependency that takes years sometimes to taper off. There are even medical clinics called tapering clinics for different types of substance phase outs, shall we say. It's because it's a very real issue that when we make that decision, we've made the decision for a journey. And as long as we stay on the journey and we don't slip too far on the other side of the bank, of the riverbanks, we're okay. Right. We're still on it. So I would say instead of fussing with him, give him affirmation and confidence and strength that he can do it. And it's okay if you slip every now and then. Because you see, if you are that way with him, then he'll be more likely to share with you the time he slips a little bit.
Because
it's important to keep the communication strong where he can trust you to be his ally and to really understand that he's trying extremely hard.
So that's beautiful.
That's
beautiful.
That's actually the best advice I can give you from long-term experience with many people that are trying their best to rearrange their lives in a better direction. People become extremely dependent on many harmful habits. Just leave it at that, because sometimes I'm surprised that some things can be that harmful.
I know.
And it still is really, really difficult.
That's I appreciate that so much. And one just jewel I'm hearing in there also, it's also maybe not asking. We don't know the means that God will use. We can ask for, I don't know what that journey needs to be. I'm just asking for his freedom and for his thriving and how God can make that in his pathway. That's not for me to dictate. It should look like this. You should do this or that. I ask for, that's powerful.
Grace penetrates all kinds of circumstances in ways we can't even begin to imagine, you know? It's crazy. You see it all the time, isn't it? Something that seemingly was really bad or something, and then you find out, that was incredible that showed up or this happened, and we wouldn't have thought that.
That was part of it.
Other thing didn't happen, you know?
Right?
So, somebody called.
Thank
We're
you so,
so
much.
We love you so much.
Oh, we love you too. We love you. And And I think it's really important how we use, that's a pronoun that's very important. We. We are in this together. We're going to get through this together. We are here for each other. And we are the family of God.
Amen.
And your Father is there as part of us.
Yes.
He's part of us.
Absolutely.
And this really gets back to the very important thing that Kathy opened her discussion with, which was how she offers the blessings and her prayers in such a way that they have the widest possible inclusion and that embrace everyone as we. When it comes to spiritual communication, spiritual practice, spiritual reality, inclusion cannot be big enough. It cannot be big enough. The only small, and it's a small one. I really don't, I don't disagree with anything that's done for good reasons, happy reasons, for love, even if we don't get it right the first time. We're working on it. You know, and I'm fine with that. I'm fine if you're working on it, okay? And if you don't get it all right, that's okay. But some of the progressive movements of inclusion, ironically, are setting apart the very segments of the world they're trying to include. They're trying to include a segment that, first of all, they're seeing as being separate and ensuring that that separate unit will then be included. And I'm going, what's wrong with this picture?
Right.
I mean, really, aren't we all here as part of the same oneness in spirit? But we, at the same time, we have made each of us a little bit different decisions about how we're going to show up in the world. And shouldn't we also honor those decisions and make it perfectly fine to make different decisions as long as we're not in it to hurt someone else?
Yes.
Shouldn't that be part of our privilege? And I go, well, I know love is behind all this, but please get it right, would you?
Yeah. And keep working at it.
Yeah, exactly. We'll get there someday. I know that for sure. And so, anyway, well, Sarah, as always, we love hearing your sweet voice on the phone. And by the way, I'll just take advantage while I'm here. Is your order is on back order for just a few days. You were out of one of the oils you ordered. So.
It's worth the wait.
Okay.
No problem.
But we've got it, and it will be on the way soon. So thank you so much for your support and your love.
Thank you so much.
Okay. All right, Sarah, I think I'm going to move to our next caller. We have Nancy. Hi, Nancy. Let me see. I think I muted you, and now I'm going to open you back up. There you
Hello.
Are.
Hello.
Hello.
Hello. I know we're connected, but are we? I think so. I can hear you. Can you hear me?
We hear you. Yes, we hear you perfectly.
Oh, good. I have a question, and I really would like to hear how you deal with the issue of when real harm is occurring, what do we do next? It's like, you know, we're down here on Earth or within the unified field on Earth, and sometimes it feels like we're playing free will bumper cars. So, the question becomes, it feels that way. So, when real harm is occurring, I try and think of, well, first I ask, is this my business? And very often these days, it's your business because it affects you directly. So then you have to go to, well, is there something I can do about it? And if you get a no, I do fairly well. If I get a no, then I feel comfortable waiting, knowing that it is being taken care of another way. When I get a yes, then I'm thinking, okay, I need some guidance on this. Yeah. What am I supposed to do? I can feel compassion for a person that's causing harm, but then I'm trying to figure out how do I stop the harm, like Jesus did when he passed the group that was going to stone the woman who had committed adultery. And he found the perfect way to stop it. And I'm thinking, oh, I need that kind of wisdom, but I'm not there yet. So my question is, when we really come up against the wall of genuine harm and there, we need to do something, and it needs to be more than prayer. We always assume prayer is done. So, okay, we do that. Then how do you work through this? How do you figure out what action to take that's loving and kind and helps stop the harm?
That's a very, very powerful question and a very difficult one to answer. But I'll tell you what I do.
Okay.
And maybe
that's
a good start.
Yeah.
Maybe that's a good start. And I think it's also what Yeshua did, although his answers are better than mine. But,
that's my problem.
Well, yeah. I mean, his answers are probably going to be better than any of ours. But what he did, I instinctively do as well. Okay, using the parable of the adulteress and the stoning, the first thing he did is he approached the situation. He didn't back off from it. Okay, in other words, he made himself physically a part of it. He came up close enough that he could see what was going on, and although not all the words are given in the scripture, I'm sure he asked about it and asked what evidence existed and who the men were going to stone her. He probably got some information. And the reason I say that is because he always had his ways of pulling himself into a situation where he was part of it. And then the answers come. The answers come when you're actually part of something. And I don't know what answer I'm going to give you, but the more I talk to you, the answer will come. It always comes when you're part of it. And that's the courage we have to take in order to literally be part of it. We can tell, by the way, the whole scripture rolls out in the New Testament that Yeshua did not know, pardon me, he did not know from the beginning that he was going to die on the cross. It was not scripted.
Right.
What he knew is that he came to immerse himself into humanity. He knew that. And that's
the message
what
is coming
did.
Now, isn't it?
Exactly.
Thank you.
Yeah. Oh, did you get the answer?
No, I'm thinking you're getting it.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
What you just said was really powerful.
He came here to immerse himself, which is why he did not pick temple-educated people to follow him. He picked ordinary men to receive his teaching. Fishermen, carpenters, tax collectors, you know. You don't get any more common than the people he chose because it immersed him. And he came here to be immersed in humanity in order to transform it. And people often ask me, why did he go into the temple and turn the tables over that the money lenders were making transactions with?
Mm-hmm.
And I, the only thing I can answer for sure is I am positive he did not premeditate that. He came into the temple to worship. He came into the temple to be with others who were there for the best of reasons, the highest and the noblest of reasons, to celebrate their union with God, probably to pray and to be with others who are in a sanctified state of mind and heart. So he came in with the highest and the best of intentions. And all of a sudden, he looked over on the side of the road, and there were these noisemakers, intruders, disruptors, who had taken the energy of the temple down to as low as you can get it. And he was simply annoyed. And he went over and turned over the tables. He didn't do that with evil intention. He didn't do it with hostile intention. He was there in the temple to be there to invoke and evoke the presence of God. And these people were just rowdy noisemakers, rowdy disruptors who had no connection whatsoever with the purpose of the temple. And exactly. He dealt with it appropriately. I think, okay, what I'm getting to as part of this answer is being the love that we are. I don't think we ever preconceive disruptive actions or even judgmental or corrective actions. We go into a situation with the full expectation that by being the best person we can be, we're going to make a difference. And when that situation pulls back against us, we see that the problem is a problem that can't be corrected by simple acceptance. And and the cause of the problem then begins to be revealed. And once you see the cause of the problem, and I'm talking about the actual cause, not just the contagion of the problem, but the actual cause, then sometimes all it takes is a glance of the eyes, one word spoken, and it disappears. Most trouble hides behind camouflage, Nancy. It hides behind selective camouflage for people who've been in themselves already been intimidated by the cause of the problem.
Mm-hmm.
And they have not done their part, and they just surrendered into the general camouflage. Now, I'm going to translate into a huge problem in the world we have today, and that is the war between Ukraine and Russia. Okay.
Yes.
Now, this is the way I approach it in my meditation, my breathing, and my prayer time. And the way I approach it is, on both sides of this contention are the people that are being hurt, the citizens of Ukraine, the citizens of Russia. They don't want war.
No.
They want peace.
Mm-hmm.
They want a good life restored for their families, their nation, their economy, their production, their friends. They want their country back at peace. That's what the people want. And somewhere along the line, they become so intimidated by the conflicts that have been created by a few that they have allowed themselves to be inducted into the chaos, and they have become the camouflage. And so what I do is I extend my blessings and my prayers to all recipients of love, that they may receive the love and follow the love and be the love. And I have told many, many other people to do this. And as I'm beginning to see the news play out, I'm finding more and more that the people, for example, the people in Ukraine are wanting to take charge of their democracy. They don't want international assistance, because international assistance just means more war, and they don't want it. They want to be in charge of their country. That is a wonderful progress, a wonderful good sign. And the fact that they're there wanting to do that. And you know who's resisting them the most? Zelensky. He's the one that wants the war the most. On the Russia side, the people want to take charge of their country. Who's opposing them the most? I'll give you three
Putin.
Guesses.
Yeah.
Putin. Yeah, Putin, Putin. And so what we're finding is that by giving loving power to the people, it will expose sources of disruption and war that will then have to renege and have to resign, not necessarily resign their political position, but resign some of their intentions, or they will be exposed globally for being the real terrorist behind the problem. Mm-hmm. And so I think the answer ultimately is to be love, be present, and don't back off.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Maybe a big part of my issue then is fear.
Uh-huh.
Fear of moving into the situation where the harm is occurring and being present and being loving and not giving in to fear and being standing there as an honest person, a humble person, speaking
yes.
simple truth. Maybe
yes.
that's it. Yeah.
That's it. If you don't, you know, the thing is, I was speaking about camouflage. I was
mm-hmm.
thinking about induction and innocent people. Pardon me just a moment. Innocent people who don't want the chaos have just been swept off their feet into it. Okay. If they see someone being there, courageously present, but not inducted, not swept into agreement, it may give them courage to stand up and say, you know, I don't want this.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You know, good is even more contagious than bad.
Well, for
the
sure.
The only thing
yeah.
is way more contagious. But unfortunately, bad has fear on its side because it can use fear to manipulate people. All of those who've already been swept into agreement were also fearful, Nancy. That's how they got swept in. They
I
were afraid.
I think so, too. I'm not afraid for my eternal life or anything like that, but I'm afraid of how destructive what's going on is becoming and how destructive interpersonal relationships even in families are
mm-hmm.
becoming and have been now for some time. And that mm-hmm. concerns me, but I think I just have to walk away from the fear and just
That's
know
what
that the light
from.
Surrounds us all. And then that will be a
much.
Small contribution.
Mm-hmm.
It
will be.
Stopping
and don't say too much.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, just.
It doesn't take much.
No, and it has to be really simple, I think. Really
exactly.
simple. Say what is going on. Just say it simply and stop.
Yes.
Observe okay. it, say it, and be quiet.
Mm. That's a great formula.
Hmm. I'll
yeah.
give it a try. I have plenty of opportunities.
Okay.
Oh, that's great.
Thank you, Glenda. I so appreciate your insight.
You're welcome.
Thank you.
And
oh,
you
and
know,
I meant.
Go ahead.
Pardon?
No, go ahead, Nancy.
Well, what I was going to say is I think it's wonderful that you are using the books as the focus of the Sunday call and then having questions, but and this question and answer is very helpful too, but I think it's really good to get the word out about what is in the book. And I wanted to tell you that I am a member of a meditation group, and there are actually three of the groups. And every once in a while, we're asked to lead the group discussion. So I did one. I did a discussion and a meditation on the God Center, the divine within, the sacred heart. And I was so fearful of getting it incorrectly. I just lifted exact quotations. I told them that's what I was going to do. These are quotes from the book. And then we did a meditation. And I was so glad to be able to get an important part of the book said to people who haven't read it and don't know. I was just so grateful. And the people who heard it went into a really deep, peaceful meditation. And a lot of them didn't even get messages or anything. They just were in the light. They were quiet and peaceful. And really, that's what I had hoped at a minimum they would get. So it's very powerful to use the words, say the exact words, and help people be exposed to who we really are and how we need to move through life and so forth. So I want to thank you for writing the books. And it was wonderful to have the. And in fact, I just got my book. You just sent me another one. I ran out of them, so I had to get one for myself. But anyway, thank you for that too. And thank you for all of these telephone calls. And I appreciate everyone who comes on the phone and speaks. And everyone who is there listening and opening their hearts to a profound way of being. And actually the only way of being when you think about it. But thank you. Thank you.
Thank you, Nancy. Beautifully said. Gosh, thank you. We're all feeling exactly what you just expressed.
Well,
so.
We're going to keep on doing what we're doing. Pretty soon we'll probably switch to the keys of Yeshua.
Oh, yeah.
you know, that's going to give us lots of chapters to cover.
It will.
Well, I am going to open our last caller. Thank you, Nancy. We're
thank
so happy
you.
You're here with us today. I'm going to open a Stormy. This is your line is open, Stormy.
Yes. I've been working on this one for, really all of my life. When I was 6 years old and moved into a new neighborhood, I went up and down the street and knocked on every door and says, hello, who's there? When I got to FedEx, I knocked on as many businesses as I could and went, hello, and just says, hi, and I've broken the Ten Commandments down to just one commandment for me. And that commandment is, hello.
Well,
it's just that simple. It's just, hello.
If that works for you, then keep it up, Stormy.
I had a man call me last week looking for a work as a cowboy. Evidently, I'm on Craigslist and I own a ranch. And he was looking to see if I would hire him. Now, that's pretty divine, something God was using. But we talked for 45 minutes. I says, no, I don't know on the ranch. But we said, you know, hello, hi. He grew up in Emory for 19 years. We had a lot to talk about. But it's just that hello. It's just so simple for me, Glenda.
Yeah. Well, it's just called being there, you know? And that's pretty much what the Lord said to Moses, I am that I am, and I'm here, hello.
Yeah. Folks, you got to get the first hello out to get the conversation started.
You know, I think that's true. And you're really a great conversation starter. You really are a star.
Oh, and this blessing call,
yeah.
It's exactly what I asked for 5 minutes before it started today. So we are spiritually in tune with each other, as a lot of us are, that I wanted this premise to happen today. And you had already decided it would be that way. So thank you and
You're welcome. All of us
that we were thinking this way. Bye-bye.
Yeah, I picked it up last night when I was getting ready to put another chapter on, and I thought, nobody wants that. It's not that they don't want the chapter. It's like, nobody wants it today. We just need to, well, actually, you know, after you have Thanksgiving dinner, you don't want to eat again for a while. And
yeah,
every chapter in Love Without End is like Thanksgiving or Christmas dinner. So
that's just one of those hellos.
Yeah, exactly.
All right,
Stormy. Well, you have a great rest of your day and a wonderful week, and that goes for everybody on the call. Let's just get ourselves tuned up here and let the car just run for a few minutes, like going into idle but purring, so we get all the juices inside our body, our heart, mind, soul moving, because we want to be in a state of total receptivity. The blessings of the Holy Spirit are uncountable, unimaginable, and unpreconceivable. We really don't know what we're going to get until the Holy Spirit shows up and says, hello. So that's to use your wisdom, Stormy, and pass it on for the rest of the call. But that's really how it works. You know, Yeshua was predicted, not quite, I don't know, the way he came. Similar, if you read all the prophecies, similar. But still, when he finally just showed up on the earth, he didn't preconceive anything. He didn't preconceive the outcome, not even the path. He just knew why he was here and who he was. And he showed up and said hello. So you got that right, Stormy. And I thank you for your simple wisdom. And now, everybody else, let's do what we can to get our bodies awake and our minds unfixed on particular things and open to a broad spectrum of possibilities. Our hearts, let them be momentarily free from worry or from what might be vexing you or stressing you. Just let it be relaxed and open to suggestions from on high, or suggestions even from those you share life with. You know, they've got a lot of answers too if you just listen. So many times we shut
down our listening capacity because we're tired of hearing the wrong things. We're tired of hearing humans arguing with each other. We're tired of hearing disappointing communications. And we just back off. And I want to say something about that, too, because I've used the term back off quite a few times in our session today. Back off is not the same thing as being quiet. Backing off does not necessarily make your life quiet or your mind quiet. You may just back off to where you're not listening. Back off so you're not part of the conflict. Back off to where it's a little safer because you were afraid to be involved. You're afraid nobody wanted to hear what you had to say. And backing off is its own thing. But finding silence within your mind and peace within your heart is a whole different subject. It's on a very different plane of reality where we return to the way we were created. How could you be created in the image of God and not have peace in your heart? How could you be created to fulfill the will of God on this earth with only worries in your mind, only troubles that you think about, or grievances that you resist, or judgments? Well, you couldn't. So let's get back to the basic template. You don't have to keep it. Just like I mentioned to Sarah, be patient with your dad. He's made the decision. He wants to be alcohol-free. The fact that he slips doesn't mean he's lost his way on the path. Just because you don't keep peace in your heart every moment, just because you don't keep your mind quiet from internal arguments and frets and stresses every moment, doesn't mean you don't know who you are. Just because you find something so disagreeable, doesn't mean you stop being the love that you are. Love can take many forms. And I would suggest that you don't limit it. Peace can take many forms. Sometimes peace just means I'm going to stop resisting. I'm going to stop arguing because this is not my time to be involved. Once you find that template within yourself, you've got home base established. And getting that home base established is one of the greatest blessings you can ever give yourself. So let's be at least in some part of home base right now. And let's get our bodies just a little bit active as much as you can. And again, we're not going to be judgmental. It may only be fingers or toes that you can move. That's all right. Whatever you can move, move it. And, you know, internally within your back, there's a lot of things you can move. One of the things that I find very peaceful is to lift your shoulders and then squinch your shoulder blades so they're coming together and you have the vision of those shoulder blades holding an egg. And if they drop that egg, well, you're going to have egg to clean up on the floor later on. So don't drop that egg. Keep those shoulder blades squinched. Okay. But not so much as you crush the egg. Okay. Now, you lift it just a little bit. Oh, that starts opening
up tension points that were in the upper part of your back, and you hold it. Now move it down, but don't break the egg. Now move it slowly down to a lower position on your back. Yeah. And that starts to open up your middle back. Okay. Now just imagine that all of this action that you've just put that egg through has boiled the egg. So now it's safe to just drop it. It won't crash. Okay, you boiled the egg, you did your job, and wiggle your shoulders. The reason I like this one a lot is because almost anybody can do this. Just rotate your shoulders without moving your arms, just rotate your shoulders. Okay, and turn your neck to the right and to the left and engage movement with your shoulders with the turning of your neck until you get a lot of fluidity in that area. Now, the reason I'm emphasizing this is because this is the number one place in your body where you hold tension. There's a reason for it, because it's right above your heart where you hold your worries and your stresses and your fears. And it's surrounding your breathing passages where you take fresh oxygen and life into your body. So we're squeezing the airways all the time with this tension. And now to celebrate the release of it, I want you to take a very, very deep breath. Take a really deep breath and take it into your lungs. Yeah, and hold it for just a second, and now blow it out and let those shoulders drop. Okay, again, now, inhale. You'll feel your shoulders move up if you take it down. If you extend your diaphragm, take it down deep. Hold your shoulders up. Hold it, expand it, expand. Okay, now blow it out and let those shoulders drop. We're going to do the same thing again. We're going to breathe, but we're going to take it up into our sinuses. It's very important as well. That's going to help stabilize and relax your brain. It's going to give your brain energy, not so it can fight and disagree with itself or stress, but energy so it can actually relax. So take a deep breath and move it up into your sinus cavities. Okay, hold it. Hold it. Okay, and let it breathe, let it out. And again, your shoulders will fall. Let's do it one more time. Feel your sinuses and hold it, hold it. Yeah. And let it drop. Okay. Now, as much as you can, move your legs. Okay. Get circulation moving, because as part of the blessing, we're going to bring energy from the earth up through our feet and our legs. And it's going to travel up through your spine into your sacred center and then on beyond and out the top of your head, where it's going to mingle with energies of the universe that will bring back a fresh new supply of energy to your body that will travel down through from your head, your neck, in through your chest, and go sideways into your arms. So I want you to reach out with your arms both directions and grab a big piece of space and pull it into your chest. Hold it over your chest. Yes. And with your arms folded, move your little wings, your little enfolded wings up and down so that you exercise the muscles holding your ribs
your rib cage in place. Yeah. Okay? And you're going to stretch the area under your arms and into your chest. It's going to feel really good. And we are open now. We've opened our body up to energy in every part of it. And we just want to take one more really deep breath. Let's take it in. Take it in, hold it, and now blow it out. Okay. I want you seated now with your feet on the floor. Yeah. Barefoot if you can, so that your contact with the earth is as uninterrupted as possible. Now, I know there's probably flooring beneath your feet, but the earth knows how to deal with that. It doesn't take sovereignty over you, however. You have to be open, and that's why we want your feet bare. So have your feet on the floor. And sit up in your chair. It's okay when you're receiving the blessing to lean back in your chair. You can even get sloppy in your posture. It doesn't matter. God knows where to find you and how to find you. The Holy Spirit knows how to move through you no matter what. But in the beginning, have this appropriate readiness to receive, which is showing up for a very special appointment with God. You're going to ask for it. I'm going to say the invocation for Yeshua, my gratitude that he's here to be with all of us and to be with the blessing givers and me in conducting this special holy energy for you. And when my prayer is complete, then you begin yours. I want you to do that because it makes you more available and it targets the energy you're going to receive to be specially for you. Okay, let us begin. Yeshua, Son of God, Lord of life, the one who is already here, who is always here, still, we thank you for your presence. We seek your knowing presence with us, that we may feel your regard for us, and that you have specially appointed yourself to be here for our blessing. We appreciate that. And we have special requests that we would like to ask, not just for ourselves, but for others, for our world, because sometimes we feel so helpless. Sometimes we feel so hindered with unknowing about what to do. We ask that you act on our behalf, that you lead us into paths of understanding and wisdom, of caring and appreciation, so that we can simply be alive and present within the family of humanity, our brothers and sisters, where we can always pray the best for them and really, really mean it, because you are here with us in our prayers. We ask, as always, that you be with the children, for they have newly arrived and they don't even know yet what they're here for. Stand with them as they discover why they're here and what they were called to do. protect them in their journey, that they may stay strong and discover their right ways of living and their wisdom, their strength, their self-esteem, and their confidence. We ask your blessing with our teachers, our doctors, and all manner of healers, whether healers of the body or the soul. We ask that you be with them, that they may do their work in your honor and bring about the fulfillment of humanity in this world that we all desire and pray for, even those who are lost. At one time, they wanted something really good, and they lost hope. We pray that their hope be restored and their lives be open to healing. All these things we ask in your precious name. Amen. Blessing givers, will you join me now in conducting the blessing? Amen. Amen. And amen. Your blessing has been given. Now, go and rest. Lay down flat on your bed, on a sofa, on a mat, somewhere where your body is horizontal, so that every part is equal to every other part. No preference, no judgment, no trouble, just acceptance. I wish you a wonderful week. And I hope you return to be with us again next week. So, bye-bye for now. God bless always.